Hallelujah.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out demons. Without cost you have received. Without cost, give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts. No sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or a walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town you or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We continue to see God's love graphically depicted by the prophet Hosea. At a time of great infidelity, God sent Hosea primarily to preach his mercy. Even when Hosea would have been tempted to preach a castigation because of sin, it actually came out as merciful love. In his marriage to Gomer the prostitute, and having to deal with her subsequent infidelities and reconcile with her, God was showing how he treats us. Today, he describes it. When Israel was young, young nation, "I loved him. Out of Egypt I called him." That would be an evocative remembrance for every Jew. How the Lord had saved them from slavery. "But the more I called them, the farther they went from me." We're able to see God's tenderness here. He does care. He's not aloof. Sacrificing the balls, burning incense to idols. They were committing adultery with other gods. "Yet it was I," he remembers, "who taught Ephraim to walk, who took him in my arms." All of these familial images of Rahamim, the feminine side of God's merciful love. "I drew them with human cords, with bands of love." He was constantly trying to help them to receive his love and return it. "I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. Yet though I stooped to feed my child, they did not know that I was their healer." That as God was loving, he was simultaneously healing. And they didn't grasp it. Even the times where he allowed them to suffer the consequence of their sins, that similarly was medicinal love. And he finishes this very famous passage from Hosea 11. "My heart is overwhelmed." You can almost hear the prophecy of Shmagnitzabai. "My pity is stirred. But I'm not going to give vent to the just anger I would have that would be blazing. For I'm God and not a man. I will not let the flames consume you." The flames would consume him. He would be that burning bush, and his sacred heart continues to burn with love. This is the gospel. In today's passage from St. Matthew, we see how God sends out his first apostles as messengers of this form of love. He wanted the people who were entering the kingdom to recognize that God was their healer. So as he sent him out to communicate that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that there's a chance to enter into communion with the Lord of heaven and earth right now, a foretaste of eternity, he said, cure the sick, so that through those healings, just like through Jesus's, they would recognize that God is present among them. Raise the dead, the one who is eternal, cleanse the lepers, who's able to cleanse even our souls of every type of spiritual leprosy. Drive out demons, that he would conquer the evil one. And then he gave packaging, as I like to describe it. Because you have received without paying anything, give without receiving. In other words, show the kingdom of heaven is at hand by the way that you generously pour yourself out. These were the criteria he gave. The instructions are extraordinarily important for us to ponder their relevance today. So we're supposed to be first a sign of God's gratuitous love. Second, don't take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack, no second tunic, no sandals, no walking stick. We've got to evince total trust in God's providence. When he says the laborer deserves his keep, he's the one who's going to pay the laborer. He's the one who's going to arrange it. We can't give respecting the wage of our labors if we're going to be giving without cost. But God himself will reward. God himself will take care. Whatever town or village you're in, to look for a worthy person and stay there until you leave. Be grateful for the hospitality of anyone who extends it. Don't be looking for a better deal. Be grateful for what you have, not covetous for what you don't. Again, they've got to be showing by their behavior that with the Lord as their shepherd, they know they have it all. They don't have to be looking for another place. I think really key today in the new evangelization is what comes next. As you enter a house, wish it peace. The house is worthy, your peace will come upon it. If not, it will return to you. In other words, your prejudice has to be that every house is capable of receiving peace. Don't be suspicious. When you're going out, don't think that, oh, I'm probably going to be rejected. Oh, these people are probably going to be hardened soil. Going out expecting that they'll be capable of receiving peace. And if they're not, your peace will return to you. But be offering peace and be ready to receive it if it comes back. It won't be wasted. But have that prejudice. And he says, whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that town and shake the dust from your feet. In other words, don't take the resentment to the next town. Move on. Don't keep score of your failures and wounds. Move on, recognizing the kingdom is at hand. If the kingdom is at hand, the king is at hand. So just as they sometimes rejected him, they will reject you. These were the instructions to announce the kingdom and to show it by how they dressed, by how they greeted, by how they resided, by how they suffered rejection, by how they cured, exercised, resuscitated, by everything they did. Now we know when the Lord sent out these apostles to announce the kingdom, he sent them out not one by one, even though they would have been able to cover twice as much ground that way, but two by two. And the most common form of sending out disciples two by two is hand in hand with rings in the sacrament of holy matrimony. And that's what we mark today. There are four couples canonized together in history. Do you know what they are? Who they are? Just guess. First one, we can start with Mary and Joseph. Okay, very good. We've got the feast of Louis and Sally Martin today. Who are the other two? Do you know?
Priscilla and Aquila.
Priscilla and Aquila. Only missing one.
Anna Joachim.
There are five couples. Very good. Huh? Saint Isidore and Maria della Capeta. There might be six, but they were not canonized together, in a sense. Luigi and Maria Quattrochi, Four Eyes, an Italian couple. But the Lord sends out couples to announce the kingdom, to announce the spousal reality of that kingdom. And today we have the joy, the privilege to be able to celebrate one couple who did that in an excellent way. Louis Martin wanted to become a Benedictine. He went to the great Saint Bernard Monastery, but because he didn't know Latin, they booted him. It's interesting, the amount of saints who have been rejected. Zelie wanted to become a visitation nun, but she suffered from migraines, and so she was booted, because apparently nobody with headaches can be a visitation nun. But nevertheless, God brought great good out of that suffering, because he had another vocation in mind. Zelie discovered when she was booted that the Lord must have a plan for her to be a mother of saints. So one day, walking on the St. Leonard Bridge in Alençon, as this watchmaker, Louis Martin, was walking in the opposite direction, God whispered to her, "This is the man I have chosen for you." And so, despite the culture of the time, this 22-year-old woman stops this 35-year-old man and begins to talk, initiate a conversation. 3 months later, they were married. He wanted to live a Josephite marriage because, essentially, he had always wanted to be a monk. But thanks be to God, they went to see a priest who knew something about marriage. I don't know what his name would be. I'd love to send him to Cardinal Farrell. But regardless, he said, "No, this wouldn't be God's plan for you to live a Josephite marriage." And so Zelie was greatly consoled. She begged the Lord to send her many children. And she hoped that every one of her children would be consecrated to the Lord. She gave birth to 9. 4 died in infancy, consecrated the Lord in baptism. 4 of them became Carmelites, and the 9th became a visitation nun, just like her mom had wished. And they lived out their marriage in a holy way. There was peace that reigned in their home. Every morning, the entire family would go to daily mass at 5:30 in the morning to the cathedral there. Zelie was taken when her most famous daughter, Therese, was just 4. Louis would be taken 17 years later. But this was a home that lived and announced the gospel. It was a home that was simple, despite the fact that they worked very hard and they were certainly upper middle class. They were not attached to their things. And they announced the kingdom in such a way that their daughters being raised didn't want anything else but then to seek that kingdom in life. All 5 of their children learned something very important from their parents' faith that was the essential root of their religious vocation. As Pope Benedict liked to stress, still stresses, that the essence of the consecrated life is Facium tuum Domine requiro. I seek your face, O Lord. It's to seek the face of the Lord. They were the ones who showed their daughters how to pray, "Let us see your face, O Lord, and we shall be saved." They were able to glimpse that face here on earth. And Louis Zelie now sharing that beatific vision forever in heaven. Today, as we celebrate Mass on their feast day, we ask through their intercession that we might be ever greater icons of the spousal love that exists between Christ and his church, that we might radiate in the way that we live that the Lord, who has raised us to his cheeks, his beloved children, is also the one who loves us most and the one who is our healer. Let us go out in every way that we can to manifest that the kingdom of God is at hand as we prepare to receive that King.